Our podcast reviews well-known movies and contains spoilers. The podcast may contain mature subject matter and mature language. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy the show.
Quiet on set. Places, everybody. And action.
It's time once again for the Hooked on Movies podcast. Today's movie is a celebration of an actor we lost this year, Carl Weathers, whom we lost on February 1st. The movie from 1985, Rocky IV, is what we are going to be talking about today. And with me, as always, are Ken.
We're going to have to stop this podcast before somebody gets killed.
That's right. And
not
Ted.
Not me this time.
Not you.
If I can change and you can change, everybody can change.
Adrian! That's right. And I'm Eric, and you will lose. You will lose big. Rocky IV. Unfortunately, we lost the great actor, Carl Weathers, who did so much fun stuff. Predator, this. I loved him on Arrested Development.
Happy Gilmore.
Was he 70, I believe?
76.
76, yeah.
76. Very, very sad.
And then The Mandalorian,
and then, of course, The Mandalorian, yes, which I still have not seen yet. I will have to get to that.
I still say he was robbed for an Oscar for Rocky III when he had to race Rocky Balboa.
Right. We talked about that. And a shameless plug.
Had to relive that in the montage.
Exactly. So. Shameless plug out there. Great. We have reviewed the prior Rockies, 1, 2, and 3. So give him a listen so you can listen to the whole series.
So Carl Weathers had to die for us to do number 4. Great.
No, come on. We were going to do this. Four. I hope.
It's too much fun not to do.
Right. And we're going to have some fun doing it here. Ken, give us the synopsis on this one.
Okay. After reclaiming the boxing championship title, Rocky Balboa plans to retire and live with his wife, Adrian. However, during an exhibition match, Rocky's fan Apollo Creed is beaten to death by a hulking Russian newcomer, Ivan Drago. Rocky vows payback against Drago and flies to Russia to train for a Christmas Day fight. Happy holidays. Despite their different training methods, Rocky and Drago both wage a long and intense match. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much. And
that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, and
I left out the part where he's, you know, saved us from communism.
So. Destroys communism, yes. Yep. Yes. Proven fact. Reagan? No, Reagan was on the coattails of Rocky on this one.
John Paul II? No.
Rocky. Exactly. Nope, not at all. Ted, give us the particulars of this one.
Okay, so Rocky IV is directed by Sylvester Stallone with a screenplay by Sylvester Stallone. It has a running time of a very tight 91 minutes, a release date of November 27th, 1985. It had a budget of $28 million. All spent on montages, and then a box office gross of $300.4 million. So somebody went to see this movie. A lot of people went to see this movie. The critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, unfortunately, is a splat of 39%.
We haven't had a splat in a while, have we, on a movie we've looked at?
Yeah, we've been doing good movies recently.
Yeah, apparently.
The audience score, however, on the other hand, is a 79%. Rocky IV stars Sylvester Stallone as Rocky Balboa, Talia Shire as Adrian Balboa, Burt Young as Pauly Panino, Carl Weathers as Apollo Creed, Brigitte Nielsen as Lumita Drago, the wife of Ivan Drago, Dolph Lundgren as Captain Ivan Drago, the Siberian Express, Tony Burton as Tony Duke Evers, and Michael Pataki as Nikolai Koloff, the trainer of Ivan Drago.
Cool.
And those are the well.
We included him in the cast there?
Why not? He's
the trainer. Have a line?
He's the trainer. Not a whole lot of people have a whole lot of lines in this movie.
No. It's limited montages. To a few. That and the robot. So
the robot talks more than Drago does.
Well, to answer your question, Ted, I actually saw this in the theater first run, 1985. I am one of those people.
Awesome.
The second movie I've ever seen in the theater. E.T., Then I took a 3-year break, apparently, and I saw this. So that's I am awesome. That person. How about you?
Me? I saw this. God, I saw this movie on, no doubt, on TV. It played on TV in the late 80s all the time. So,
well, that's when the wall fell, so it makes sense.
I believe this was my first introduction to Rocky.
It was a lot. It was mine too. Yep.
So, I mean, when I thought when I was younger, when I thought of Rocky, this is what I thought of.
Me too.
And unfortunately, that clouds my vision of this movie, because I remember enjoying it as a kid a lot. I was afraid of Drago.
It's a scary Russian. Ken, Cable, yes.
No, theater.
Whoa!
Sweet!
Nice!
Two times.
Oh my goodness.
Twice.
Now we know why it did so well at the box office. How about that?
Yeah. Went back for a second helping.
It was all about the popcorn. So.
Yeah, the 1985 popcorn, of course.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of saturated fat.
Yeah, with the real butter, not the corn oil that they put on now.
Well, let's dive in here. Ken, tell us about part one of Rocky IV.
Okay, 1985, Russian boxer Ivan Drago arrives in the United States with his wife. His manager takes every opportunity to promote Drago's athleticism as a hallmark of Soviet supremacy. Motivated by patriotism and an innate desire to prove himself, former heavyweight champion Apollo Creed challenges Drago to an exhibition bout. Rocky has reservations, but agrees to help train Apollo for the match. During a press conference, hostility sparks between Apollo's and Drago's respective camps break out. The boxing exhibition takes place. Apollo enters the ring in an over-the-top patriotic entrance with James Brown performing Living in America, complete with showgirls. The bout starts tamely with Apollo landing several punches that are ineffective against Drago, but Drago suddenly retaliates with devastating effects. By the end of the first round, Rocky pleads with Apollo to stop the match, but Apollo refuses to do so and tells Rocky to not stop the match no matter what. Drago continues to pummel him in the second round, and Duke begs Rocky to throw in the towel. Rocky honors Apollo's wishes, which allows Drago to beat Apollo to death in the ring. In the aftermath, Drago states to the media, "If he dies, he dies." And that's the end of part one.
Cool. That's a cool place to end, because that's pretty much the build up of this movie.
At the beginning of this movie, they always show the
end of the last movie.
The end of the last movie, which is probably the best thing about this movie. But they show the two boxing gloves, and they come together and they come together boom, and explode and stuff. It's like a bomb being ready to be set off.
Yeah.
I mean, it sets everything up. I wish that they would have shown us a little of the actual Apollo Rocky fight at the beginning of that. That would have been nice to start off with. But instead,
maybe that's in the extended cut. I don't know.
But instead, we get to see him come home with a black eye and a hat and his kid. So it's
right.
To a birthday party, I guess you schedule a fight with your other friend just before your other friend has a birthday party. So
absolutely. Right? That's the way you do
your stepbrother. So
brother-in-law.
Yeah. Brother-in-law. That's right.
And Polly wants the car.
Polly wants
to park. You're going to get me a car, Rock? What?
It's parked outside.
That creepy robot that people for years talked about after this movie.
Oh,
it was so high tech.
Well, fun fact about this creepy robot, I guess one of Sylvester Stallone's kids had some type of medical issue, and they actually had this type of robot in their own home. And he decided, because of how much it helped with his son, that he was going to incorporate the robot into the movie.
Interesting.
And how did it help with his son?
I never found out exactly how that was the case.
Scared him?
I don't know if it was more of like emotional support.
This is my emotional support robot.
Emotional support. You take it on planes with you. Absolutely.
Yeah, we see how it treats Polly. They basically have a romantic relationship.
It's a sex bot at this point. Yeah, that's like reprogrammed it.
That's a little creepy.
And I love you, Polly.
Stallone had written a novelization of this movie, and I guess they got serious. And I don't say sexually serious, but they were in love. Yeah, that's what I heard. Yes. That Polly was really into
it. Polly's a pretty simple guy, so I mean,
yeah.
Put a beer in his hand, he's a happy guy. Yep. That's creepy.
That's disturbing on so many levels.
Yeah.
Well, this movie is disturbing on so many levels.
And then I believe you mentioned that there's not a remake, but like a reissue of this movie where the robot was taken out.
I guess that's what I read. I haven't seen the reissue yet, but I guess the robot's been taken out of the movie because of everybody, the blowback from everybody.
So then Polly got nothing for his birthday? Is that what they're just...
I have no idea. Like I said,
or they just give him a car.
Yeah, maybe.
So yo, Polly, here's your Porsche. Yeah.
The cake was kind of cool.
The kid?
No, the cake. The cake was
cake
a
was
picture
cool.
of his.
Yeah.
Kid was, no, the kid was not cool. Sorry.
Kid's annoying.
Kid's a dork.
Robot should have like killed him.
Nerds or something?
Yeah.
It's funny how you look at Polly's character. From the first movie up to now, he's this drunk, abusive,
asshole.
Brother, asshole. Yeah. And now he's kind of like celebrated in this fourth movie.
Dare I say, a stereotypical Philadelphian.
There you go.
Drunk, abusive, asshole. Yeah. That's normally what I think of Philadelphia sports fans. So
exactly.
Well, in this movie, we don't see him ever drunk. He does have a beer. But
well, the robot got him the beer, and he can't probably drink in Russia.
He's turned into more of a joke.
Yeah, he's right. He's kind of like a sidekick almost.
He's the comic relief in this movie.
It's a weird transition. Maybe Sly, in writing Polly for this movie, was maybe he thought he took the racism a little bit too far in Rocky III.
Well, you got to have Polly in the movie unless you're going to kill him off.
Right.
So you don't put him in as much. What's he really going to do? He's on the side of the ring in the training. You know, that's right. About it. And when Rocky's training, all he's doing is bitching and complaining.
He does that, but he also has the sweet side, which we'll talk about that in the second part of it. But
we should be nicer to Burt Ward since we lost him.
Not Burt Young.
Immediately turns.
Not Burt Young. No.
Yeah, not Burt. Yeah, Burt Ward.
Damn it. I did it. I didn't even catch myself.
But even after his sweet moment with Rocky, when they're in the ring, he turns funny again. Even that brief period of sentimentality that they have and they share is kind of undercut by
is he part of the sideline group with Apollo Creed at the fight?
Yeah, and that doesn't make any sense either, because you would probably want a legitimate person in your corner, like a cut man. One thing I noticed. There's no cut man in the corner in either of these fights.
No.
I mean, at least I don't see it. I mean, and we know that Rocky's going to get cut.
He bleeds more than Arturo Gatti.
He bleeds more than Aunt Flo.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's just so many just weird things about this movie. But the robot is weird. But I think it's kind of fun when he does change the voice and does bring him the beer. I do find that entertaining.
Now, how the hell did Polly figure that out, to reprogram a voice on a robot?
Yeah,
there was no YouTube back then. So
yeah, it's a huge... Sly's like, you know, hey, you changed the voice. It's like, how did you do that?
That's a huge stretch.
And I admit, when I saw this movie, I was 11 years old. So for me, the robot was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I saw this in the theater. I'd never seen the prior Rockies, but this movie, one of my memories, it was so, and maybe you remember this, Ken, it was so hyped. The movie trailers, the soundtrack, everything about this movie was so hyped that I'm like, I want to see Rocky IV.
I think Rocky IV took advantage of the MTV crowd
clearly. You
know, because everything was a music video.
Yeah.
No Easy Way Out.
Yeah.
They just took the part of the movie of that song.
All they did. It's all
and made
they
it
did.
A music video. And
that's
it was
it. Yep.
Extremely popular.
Yep.
And Living in America was all over the place. I mean,
sure.
You couldn't get away from that song, 85, 86. It just nonstop playing. It brought James Brown more.
Oh, back from the grave. No one of my age knew that who the hell he was.
Well, I did from Dr. Detroit. So
James Brown. Yeah.
James Brown. Yeah. I mean, he was still popular, but I think it allowed him to kind of cross over to other.
Not with 11-year-olds. The man hadn't had a hit. The guy hadn't had a hit in at least, the mid-70s, early 70s on the charts.
Yeah, it had been a long time.
Long time. So anyone my age, I didn't know who the hell he was, but I love the song.
It's a great soundtrack. It might be top five soundtracks of all time.
I'll tell you, people, if you don't own the soundtrack or download it or whatever you do these days, definitely listen to it all the way through. It is a great training soundtrack.
Which is interesting because Bill Conti, who scored the first three Rockies, didn't score this one.
No,
because
not at all.
He was busy doing the Karate Kid.
For him.
So,
well,
so that's why we don't hear the Rocky theme song.
Yeah. Right.
I know this is in the next section, but when Rocky climbs the mountain.
Oh, spoiler alert.
You hear a few bars of it.
It's kind of a little mixed in a little bit.
You just get like a real brief
sample
of it. the soundtrack is pure 80s.
Oh, it's so synthesized. It's so 80s. It's awesome.
The only thing it needed was Kenny Loggins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
To be the perfect 80s.
But you have Survivor, you know, doing Burning Heart. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the movie itself is so 80s. I mean, just the clash with the Soviet Union, you know, East versus West, the over the top music video style movie. The movie itself is so 1985. It's almost embarrassing.
It's definitely 1985. And, you know, you bring up the East versus the West type of thing. It's classic 80s. This is the funny thing is, you know, we poke fun at this, but Drago is an awesome villain.
Yeah, he is.
I disagree.
You don't think he's an awesome villain?
No.
Why not?
Because he's one-dimensional. Stallone had wrought a novelization that made him more sympathetic.
Aren't most Bond villains one-dimensional?
Yeah, but see, I think you get a better villain when you can understand background, reasons for why he does what he does.
So you want a Clubber Lang?
Yeah, Clubber Lang made more sense as a bad guy because, you know, first of all, Clubber Lang didn't have anything against Rocky. He just wanted the title, and Rocky was just in the way.
Everyone was in the way, Clubber. Yeah.
But he had made him more sympathetic. Me and Ted had talked about this after Creed 2, where we would have gotten an Ivan Drago movie, you know, that it kind of explained a little bit more of what happened with, you know, Ivan afterwards.
Because of the steroids, he probably couldn't have kids because his testicles were like walnuts.
He didn't have kids. That's why he's in Creed 2.
Yeah.
He's an amateur gold medalist boxer.
Hyped up on steroids.
Nobody ever saw this guy fight. Bullshit. He went to the Olympics. You would have been able to have seen him fight. But here's the question. Was he on steroids at the time?
Of course he was. He had to be.
Are you joking?
That's what we were like.
I'm talking about an Olympian.
I'm talking about as an Olympian.
Well, that's what Eric and I were talking about before we logged
on. Carl Lewis and stuff.
Yeah. It's like, how did he avoid... You know, drug testing by the Olympians. The Olympics.
Yeah.
Well, 1984 is when the whole explosion took place with the drug testing for steroids. Because you had the East German swimming team and
all looked like Brigitte Nielsen, by the way.
They did.
Which reminds me of the movie Top Secret, where he goes to Germany and the whole, the Olympic. It's a female all something like volleyball.
All German team, yes.
All female German team, and they all are guys.
Right.
With 5 o'clock shadows and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I don't know. It's Drago's silence and his stoicism that he doesn't say hardly anything.
He's a man of three words.
Right. He's a rock, and he's built out of steel. As a kid, when I sat there and watched the movie, you know, I believe that he was superhuman, the way he beat Apollo Creed and just, you know, beat him to death.
The interesting thing about that fight is the way it's orchestrated. You guys probably caught this, but it was first round. You can tell he was told, don't do anything. Just dance around. Let Creed throw some punches. At the beginning of round two, you hear his side guy go, Drago. And then he just beats the hell out of him at that point. So it's almost like the exhibition, the show. Okay, here is Apollo taking his shots, not doing anything to me. Here comes round two. Boom. I'm coming out and I'm beating him to death, which is what he did. He only landed, what, to the fourth round?
The second round is when he kills him.
It was the second round? He didn't make it all the way through the second.
Nope. He didn't even make it through the second round.
Wow. It is superhuman because you're right. I remember in the theater thinking to myself, is Rocky going to die in this movie? How that? Because it was before the internet, so you really didn't know how it was going to end. I'm like, how is he going to beat this guy? How is anyone going to beat this guy?
I legitimately thought that, wow, you just killed the main character.
Yeah, yeah.
In a brutal type of way. And, you know, and now today, of course, we know that, you know, if Drago throws the referee around like he does at the end of the first round.
It's disqualified.
The fight's over.
It's an exhibition anyway, but yeah.
He does it again in the second round. In the second round, he goes ahead and instead of throwing in the towel, the ref tries to stop the fight to end the fight.
Right.
And he hits him to basically kill him, which lets Rocky off the hook because even if he threw in the towel, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't have stopped anyway. But for me, he just comes off being just robotic. Ivan Drago is a robot.
But yeah, he comes off
that's
like
exactly
a,
right.
That's what we're saying.
But he was born and bred to be what he was, a robot.
And I don't think that makes you a great villain if you're just a mindless robot. I mean,
but
to be honest, the other guy, the manager and his wife come off being more villainous than he does.
Like Natasha and what is it from like Rocky Balboa? Oh, yes. Yes, Boris and Natasha. But honestly, the movie itself, anyone who's Russian is considered evil or the bad guy. The whole side, the whole East versus West, good and evil, is the movie.
That's the big problem here is painting him out. That is because he's Russian, he's got to be taking steroids. And if they're Russian, that means
they're cheating.
They don't have values or anything like that. And I know they try to make Apollo look a little bit like that America's no better in a certain way, but it still comes off across being we're good, you're bad.
Very simplistic.
And that's how an American movie is made. It's supposed to be that way.
And it's just too much. It's a robotic guy who ends up killing Creed. I would rather have seen Creed be like paralyzed, you know, from the waist down or something like that.
I guess that was the original draft, was he was going to be paralyzed. He wasn't going to die in the ring. I don't know who, if it was Carl Weathers or somebody else, said no, that he needs to kill him. Looking ahead at now, it's very simplistic. But back when, you know, when we first saw the movie, holy crap, he just murdered a guy in the ring.
And has no remorse about it.
No remorse.
No.
No feelings.
And we don't care because we're all, you know, of younger age at that particular time when this movie came out.
We want revenge.
I'm 13. I'm 13 years old. I don't realize that he just killed a man in the ring. Not accidentally. On purpose.
Oh, yeah. No, it's murder.
It's murder. He would not get another boxing match in his life ever. Yeah, no. At least not in the States. And they could have said that. They could have played it off that way. He could have had diplomatic.
They had the cheesy newspaper headlines after fact. But the one thing I thought was weird. So, okay. He gets the hell beat out of him, right? He goes down. He goes into a seizure fit. Wouldn't there be a medical crew like at the side of the ring? Nothing at all. Just the paparazzi just taking photos.
50 paparazzi, but one doctor. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And Rock holding his head. No doctor, medic can get there. I thought that was really odd. So they just let him die in the ring and have it all photographed.
They had the fight on a stage in a casino, not in the auditorium of the casino.
In the ballroom or something like that.
We look at this now, and
we're all picking these shreds.
All of these things are just
picking
glaring
nits here.
Observations. Yeah. One of the things too is a lot of punches because there was very little use of sound effects in this movie, and that was by design. When Carl Weathers improvised the scene where he dies and he falls down, and it's actually really an amazing thing. I mean, he falls straight down.
Like he died.
Straight down.
Yeah.
His legs are
seizures starts.
It's really cool. I mean, how he pulls that off.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I completely understand where you're coming from. It's very hard to separate what we know now from when we first saw the movie and saw it subsequent times up until, you know, we have our knowledge now.
But it's also bad movie making. It really is. I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to kill him, why not kill him in the hospital? why not have him go to the hospital? Give us a little tearjerker there in the hospital or something. If you're going to go formula, why not do that right. instead of dying in the ring?
That makes more sense.
It's a better send-off.
I don't even want to give it this much credit, but it's almost like a war death. He dies in his ring, like was a Henry V, where he falls on his sword.
If he dies at the hospital, Rocky can at least try to apologize for not throwing in the towel. You know,
unless he's brain dead.
But I'm thinking here that his body's shutting down. He's not dead yet, but he has a lot of organ failure because of the beating that he took. And of course, the fight itself is just a little too one-sided. It's, again, the formula where incredible odds. There's no way that Rocky could win because Drago killed the guy that Rocky had two close fights with. So if Rocky had two close fights, there's no way that he's going to be able to hang with Drago. It's silly. And I understand that we're picking it apart because of the silliness, but it's all over silly. I mean, if you pay close attention to those news articles that they show a picture of Drago or Rocky, but underneath, it's not about the fight. It's about something completely different. Mm-hmm. So they just took a newspaper clipping and they just slapped on a picture of Rocky on it and didn't change the story. This is a very sloppy movie, which sucks because Carl Weathers is doing a great job. We're celebrating mm-hmm. his life since he recently passed away. And I'm torturing this film, but actually the best performance in this movie is by Carl Weathers. He's doing a great job. You could see his desire. He sells why he has to fight. You know, when he's watching that TV news special about the Russian boxer coming, you can see in it, you know, he's having fun with his dogs and all of a sudden it all changes. You know, he became a good actor. And I think Stallone actually takes a back seat here. I think his acting is horseshit here. I mean, it's really, really bad. Yeah.
It's definitely checked out. That's for sure.
This is a money grab. It's just, that's all it is. I mean, Stallone said he only wanted to do a trilogy to start with, but Rocky III did so well. There's just no way to get away from the money. So I guess he said that he would only do Rocky IV if he could do something internationally. This is what happened. And I think if you took out the Russian element here, I think it would have gone a little bit better. I guess in 85, it goes well because we're all against communism, right? We're all against, you know, Russia and the wall and all that good stuff. But now in 2024, this hasn't aged well at all.
It really hasn't. And that's part of the problem. It's hard to divorce the two from now and then. But as far as you're saying, as far as movie making, it is very sloppy. The fact that 90% of the movie, or not 90%, but at least...
At least half.
At least half is montages.
Yes, which is very...
You start off with a montage. Correct. Basically. I mean right, it's not really a montage, but it's
a memory flashback.
It's a memory flashback.
And they're memory flashbacks or montages of prior scenes in movie, of the movies.
Because we're going to talk about this at the second half of the movie shortly, but the first half of the movie doesn't have a whole lot of montages.
No.
It's set up the Apollo Creed versus Ivan Drago match.
Right.
There's continuity there. I haven't seen the remake, but I do know that the original cut of this movie in 1985 was an hour longer. There was stuff cut out. I wonder if we got to see
this is a movie where
Apollo
I think we could have used that hour too. It needed to be longer.
Where's Apollo training?
Exactly. I mean, that's what I would have loved to see.
One thing though that I did wonder is Drago in his corner, he has his Russian trainer.
Yes.
But he also has the black guy that's in his corner too. Is that Clubber Lang's trainer?
No.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty positive. Yeah. His previous Olympic trainer, I believe he was.
If you look at the Russian how the Russians did things when they wanted to ingratiate themselves into a sport that was considered out of their realm, which boxing was, they went to places to get coaches. I don't know. I couldn't place who the black guy was in that corner, but I thought it was Clubber Lang's.
No, it's totally different actor.
Didn't the Russians boycott the 84 Olympics?
Yes.
And we boycotted 80. So is he an Olympic champion from 80?
He could be from 84 still. He probably could have gone.
No, they wouldn't have let him go.
They boycotted the Olympics.
Yeah, they
boycotted. So it would have been 80?
It would have been 80. 5 years prior?
What might have happened is, you know, in 80, he wins, and they say, you're the guy that we're going to pick on.
Well, they were in Moscow in 80, so it makes sense.
Right, and give, like, steroids and things of that nature. And maybe then the United States doesn't go in 80, so maybe they don't see much of him except for maybe tape, and you can't really, maybe you don't judge enough on tape. I don't know. But I agree with you, Ted. I wish they would have showed Apollo training, and not only training, but kind of doing what he did in the first Rocky movie, which was more concerned about putting on the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what we see there before the fight. We see the big show, and we see in the press conference the big show. But what if during the training we
saw him? Which is all kind of staged in his mind.
Right.
It's staged in his mind, but Drago's, it's not staged in Drago's mind.
Right.
But just having Apollo Creed train, but not train hard because he's working too much on trying to sell this as an event, which that would be inconsistency with this character.
Right. And because he thought he was fighting a true amateur.
Correct.
Right.
And obviously Drago's not an amateur. I mean, he's a killing machine. He's designed for one thing, and that's to obliterate people.
Cause pain.
But we talk about the steroids. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, though. So it's evil that Ivan Drago does all these steroids, but Rocky Balboa has a 12-pack.
And
Sylvester Stallone is ripped beyond belief.
And when he's been known to take steroids. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. He was busted for doing the Expendables for taking steroids.
Right. But in this movie, he is somewhat retired in 85. Is he?
You know, they play it off as
he doesn't know what he's going to do. Yeah, he doesn't know what he's going to do. It's amusing to me. And it was pointed out on another show that I listened to. But it's okay for Sly to do steroids, but you know, Drago's evil for doing steroids.
But in 85, we don't know.
No, we don't know that. But
we don't know
it's, you know, we talk about the boxing logistics of this. Neither one of those guys would have come in as ripped as they were. Those two guys have like 0.5 body fat on them. If they would have been hit in the ribs as hard as what they
would have shattered.
If Drago hits as hard as what they show, those punch stats, there's no protection on Sly's ribs. None. He would have broken his ribs. I don't know if this is true or not, but it's been taken as fact that when Dolph Lundgren hit, because a lot of the hits are legitimate. Like, they went at it. And
not all of them.
I guess Sylvester Stallone had to go to the hospital because he had a bruised sac around his heart.
9 days in intensive care.
Yeah, and that's because he was so ripped. The body can't take punches like that without some sort of protection.
Well, was that crazy. And also Dolph Lundgren was he wasn't pulling his punches. And in fact, Carl Weathers had walked off the movie and had threatened to quit because Dolph Lundgren wasn't pulling his punches and was afraid somebody was going to get hurt. And of course, Sylvester Stallone does get hurt. If you watch a lot of that second fight, and we'll get to that down the road, but there's a lot of missed punches later on. There's a lot of air being thrown. The cinematography here is brutally bad. It's not a believable fight. The only good thing about this fight that we get to see at the first part of the movie compared to the second one, even though Apollo dies, it's at least a full round and maybe a full round and a third. You actually get to see a fight later on. It's just kind of like a montage of a fight. And that's what I liked about like Rocky III, was Rocky III came out and gave you two rounds, but they were legit two rounds. And then at the end, they gave you legit three rounds. I mean, I love this movie in 85. I love this movie in 85. I told you, I saw it twice. There's a reason why I saw it twice. It's because, Rocky was a hero, right? And then on top of that, the music was so good that you wanted to work out. You wanted to be Rocky, so you played the soundtrack so you can get in shape. And I think at the beginning of the movie, we have Eye of the Tiger. That's at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
You incorporate that with the newer stuff, and it's just like, boom, it's just incredible. But it's kind of pathetic.
The first part has probably my favorite part of the whole movie. I mean, the first part of the movie is my favorite part of the movie.
He dies?
It's the whole build up to the fight. And I really do like the James Brown stuff. I thought that's pretty awesome.
It was good for the first 100 times I heard it on, you know, on the radio and the videos and stuff.
There are parts of the first part that I don't care for, but the first part of the movie, I actually enjoy quite a bit. You know, all of the crazy stuff that we just talked about, too. But the first part of the movie is enjoyable.
I guess. I mean,
in my opinion.
It's not bad. I mean, like you said, there are things that we wanted more of, where, you know, Paulo having a training montage of his own.
Right.
There's more that we would want. My biggest problem getting older is just the in the ring stuff.
Well, right. Well,
you guys are both real big boxing fans too.
So. Right. Yeah. We watch a lot of boxing.
Right.
And we see horseshit. Now we notice it. Before we're like,
we can call bullshit.
It's like, okay, as soon as that ref tried to stop the fight and he got pushed off for him to continue to hit him, he should have been in handcuffs or something and taken away and never allowed to fight in the U.S. ever again.
Yeah.
And then the U.S. should have like tried to extradite him for charges of murder. Simple as that. But no, because it's a movie and somehow we're going to get another fight. Nobody even talks about that. Nobody even talks about that. Drago tried to kill him. Let's talk about part two, I guess, right?
Part two. Let's do it.
Part two. Rocky decides to challenge Drago himself. Drago's camp agrees to an unsanctioned 15-round fight in Russia on Christmas Day, with Rocky traveling to Russia without his wife, Adrian, due to her disapproval of the match. Rocky sets up the training base in a remote cabin with only Duke and Polly accompanying him. To prepare for the match, Drago uses high-tech equipment, a team of trainers, and doctors monitoring his every movement, and regular doses of steroids. Rocky, on the other hand, does road work in deep snow over mountain terrain and workouts using antiquated farm equipment. He also climbs a big-ass mountain. Adrian arrives unexpectedly to give Rocky her support. Rocky enters the arena to a hostile crowd, while Drago is introduced with an elaborate patriotic ceremony. The Soviet General Secretary is in attendance as well. In contrast to his match with Apollo, Drago immediately goes on the offensive. Rocky takes a fierce pounding in the first round, but takes the initiative towards the end of the second round after landing a brutal right hook that cuts Drago's left eye, stunning both Drago and the crowd. Between rounds, Duke encourages Rocky by telling him he's proven the Russian is only human, while Drago comments to his trainers that Rocky is like a piece of iron. The two boxers spend the next rounds trading blows, with Rocky managing to hold his ground despite Drago's best efforts. As the 12th round begins, the previous hostile Russian crowd warms to Rocky. After being berated by his manager, Drago rebels, throwing him from the ring and directly addressing the Soviet leadership, stating he fights only for himself. In the final round, with both fighters exhausted and trading punches, Balboa sees an opening, unleashes a series of vicious blows, eventually knocking out Drago and finally avenging the death of Apollo. But wait, there's more. Rocky gives a victory speech, acknowledging that the local crowd's disdain of him had turned to mutual respect during the fight. Rocky finally declares, "During the fight, I've seen a lot of changing the way you felt about me. And in a way, I felt about you. In here, there were two guys killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, if I can change, you can change. Everybody can change.
Adrian!
The Soviet premier stands up reluctantly and applauds Rocky, and his aides follow suit. Rocky ends his speech by wishing his son the match on television a Merry Christmas and raising his arms into the air in victory, as the crowd applauds. The end.
The end. That's right. That's how it should end, right?
It should have ended like 5 minutes before that. So,
oh, the speech.
I don't even know where to begin.
Let's start early here. Let's start about the press conference where he agrees to fight Drago in Mother Russia.
On Christmas.
Christmas.
Are you nuts? Bobby's just going crazy in that press conference.
Silent majority. Big mouth.
Right.
Hey.
I don't know.
Don't hold back, Ted. Come on.
This whole second half of the movie is just...
I mean, he has a press conference without telling his wife first. I mean, they have the press conference.
Well, right. That's ridiculous, too.
And then we see her coming home, and then first of all, they live in a mansion, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think they would have a gated mansion? You know, all those paparazzi are there taking photos and wondering if she's going to go to Russia, and she doesn't know anything about it?
You would think.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Marriage is a little rocky.
Oh, that's right. A little rocky.
And then he comes home and she tells him he can't win.
You're going to die, Rocky. You can't win. Yeah. But she is always, she's never on his side initially.
No, and she's one of the most frustrating characters. She could be really wonderful. Like in Rocky 3, very supportive, right?
Right.
But Rocky 4.
Well, there's not a whole lot of her. I mean,
no.
She barely has any lines. The whole second half of the movie, there's hardly any lines. It's all montages. There is a nice scene between Duke and Rocky, and then there's Pauly before the fight.
But the one with Adrian, when she comes back, and she goes, "I'm with you, no matter what," and he just replies, "No matter what,
no matter what." I know,
right?
Wow,
exactly.
That's crap. They're supposed to be in love with each other. You get the Rocky III speech where she convinces him to kind of, you know, stop being a baby and kick it into a higher gear. Here, it's like, hi. It's pathetic. It's bad. And you're right. She has no lines, and the lines they give her are worthless. She comes off as being unsympathetic.
And she should be very sympathetic because, in my opinion, she should be scared.
Right.
She watched Drago.
She watched murder Apollo die in the ring. Yeah,
right. And you know, and the families are friends, so she knows Apollo's wife, and you know she knows everything that she's went through. No doubt, there's none of that depth that we get from the other movies, and that's part of the problem here is we don't get a lot of the depth. Like you said, it's very superficial. There's very little depth. And while I believe that that works for Drago, it doesn't work for the rest of your characters. I mean, that's why the most interesting character, like you said, is Apollo Creed. Because he actually has a desire, and we know what that desire is. He wants to reprove himself.
Right.
He's got that itch again. And we all know that boxers get that itch that they want to reprove themselves. Because it takes a certain type of individual to be a gladiator, essentially, and get into the ring and fight. We don't get that in the second half of this movie. I mean, we get these crazy ass training things that Rocky does. And, you know, it's impressive because Sylvester Stallone's doing a buttload of steroids. And he probably can lift some of that shit that he's doing.
It's still impressive, even with the steroids. But
I mean, if he's really doing it, it's impressive as hell.
Those sit-ups that he was doing, I'm like, oh, crap.
That's hellacious.
Here's the thing. You brought up a good point about a nice interaction between Duke and Rocky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice little one. What if, after Apollo dies, Rocky is depressed? He's going through, like, a big-time depression.
Starts doing steroids.
He doesn't want to even come out of his house. But it's Duke that comes to his house and tells Rocky that he has to do this. Apollo was there for you when you needed him. Now,
Ken, where were you in 1985 when they were writing this?
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
And all we get is Sylvester Stallone driving in his Lamborghini with another montage.
Right.
And that's what possesses him to go and do this fight.
He's a rich,
and
they're
that's
rich
ridiculous.
Spoiled kids, basically, now. Nobody, he doesn't have that you've lost everything type of situation.
He doesn't have the eye of the tiger.
No, and that's why I think if you have somebody like Duke that comes to him and says he has to do this, and he still struggles like he does in Rocky II, where he struggles a little bit until he gets Adrian's approval. So even when he goes to Russia, he's still struggling to get there. but it's Adrian showing up again. That kind of is a formula to it, but it's a better formula than what they're using here right now.
There's no struggle. And even when we get to the fight, this is not a typical Rocky fight. Rocky's getting the shit beat out of him, and he still doesn't swell up.
Should be a cage match.
I mean, he looked like he was dead in the first movie.
Yeah, he did.
And even in the second movie, even though the ending's ridiculous, where they both fall to the mat, they both look like that they had been through a battle. The only person who looks like that they've been through a battle at the end of this fight is Drago.
Drago right. Looks like crap.
Yeah.
He looks like Soda Popinski after in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
I love that game.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Rocky should have looked like his face had been through...
Swollen like three sizes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Isn't the idea of when preparing for this fight that you would try to do what you can to get ready for this fight? I'm sorry, but not having sparring partner, somebody that is like Drago size, at least, like height-wise... I mean, who have you fought before that's that height? That's one of the biggest things that I have right off the bat. And then you're going to subject yourself to maybe pneumonia or something like that with you running around in the freezing cold.
I mean, he should have kept the beard.
Again, I want to know. This is outside of the freaking speech at the end. My biggest problem with this freaking movie is, how does Rocky climb a fucking mountain? How does the fuck does he get down from that mountain? It's one
with
thing
all
to
that
climb
snow.
Up.
Yeah.
It's one thing to climb up, but he's not an experienced mountain climber. How does he get down?
We played it up for three movies that he's dumb.
But the things he's doing are dumb. Climbing up a mountain is dumb. Not bringing any equipment that will help him train better is dumb. Him pulling Polly in the snow on a sled is stupid.
Agreeing to go to Siberia.
If anything, you will cause more injury to yourself with the type of training stuff that you're doing. And then you're not watching any videotape on them to find out any weaknesses or anything like that.
Dude, I don't think they had any electricity there. Did they?
Because they were listening to Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But wasn't that on a Walkman?
It might have been battery powered. No, they had a lot of fire.
I think they still had some electricity there because I think
double
there were some lights. No, I think there was, but it's not like they had a TV or anything like that.
KGB following them around in their little black Mercedes.
Yeah. It's one thing to want to be not have distractions. It's another thing to put yourself in a worse position to win a fight. And that's what he does here. Oh, great. You lift your three friends that are in a wagon. Great job. I'm very impressed.
It's a point. The movie was obviously written as a point saying that the underdog American who's using inferior training equipment can beat the Russian hopped up on steroids using state-of-the-art technology to train. Yep. It was done on purpose that way, but I get what you're saying.
I understand what it's done, but over the years, this is why I think this movie hasn't aged well. First of all, the bad guy who is only bad because he takes steroids and is from Russia.
Well, the whole movie doesn't age well just for the whole plot itself.
Doesn't age. The only thing that ages okay is the music because the music is awesome. But
everyone loves retro 80s music.
It takes away from what worked in the other movies, and that's the relationship with Adrian. There's no relationship here. Even the beginning of the movie, which we didn't talk about when he comes in with the cake, it's very stale.
Yeah. The cake is stale?
The cake is probably stale. He brings in a cake and it's him and her, but they have like black eyes and stuff like that. And it's
very weird.
She goes, has it been that rough? No, but your relationship in this movie is. Your relationship in this movie is extremely rough. Even after she comes back, she doesn't say a word again for the rest of the movie outside of probably saying Rocky, you know, in the stands or something like that.
We don't
hear from her again for the rest of the movie.
No.
She's an annoying character anyway, so I'm okay with that.
There's a lot of problems in the second half of this movie. And
the fight's no good either. The fight is WrestleMania.
From 1985.
No crap, right? They're throwing each other down on the floors. There's hitting after the bell. I just want to not even have a referee there. I don't know what the referee's purpose is. Because every time Rocky got knocked down, he just jumped right back up.
Right.
It wasn't even a count needed. A ref is supposed to like give him the 10 seconds. Even back then, you just can't jump right back up and go right into a boxing match. You had to wait a little bit. Yeah. How many times did he get knocked down? Like 9 or 10? I mean, and that's just in a montage. It's too overboard. And as you're saying about the punches and stuff, there was a lot of missing of punches in this movie. You could just see how bad they were throwing. And it was probably hard for like Sylvester Stallone to actually reach Drago because the reach is incredibly unfair.
So. Sly, what is Sly? He's like 5'5", 5'6"?
Yeah, he's like my height. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad.
And what is Drago like? Probably 6'5", 6'6", or something?
At least.
Dolph Lundgren is like, at least like 6'4".
His tower, he looks taller because of how short Rocky is.
And wasn't the weight class also, wasn't Drago like 280 and Stallone was like 220 or something?
It's still heavyweights, though.
They are still heavyweights, yeah.
Yeah, they're still, at that time especially, they're still considered heavyweights. And the vice he gets in the corners is kind of silly. I see three of them. Well, hit the one in the middle. You know, it's like, okay, that's your game plan. I mean,
that's Stallone's writing right there.
And we haven't even talked about the worst thing in this movie, and that's Brigitte Nielsen. Brigitte.
Is she really the worst thing, though? I mean, let's be honest. She really is.
The last 5 minutes of this movie is the worst part of this.
But maybe of the actors, she's the worst thing.
But she plays the role perfectly of what you'd expect a stereotypical Russian wife to be. Strong, masculine.
And she's part of the machine.
Maybe attractive. Yeah, part of the machine.
Did you buy her as an Olympic swimmer?
I could see her as an Olympic swimmer. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But she looks athletic. I mean.
She looks very, she beat my ass. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think she actually did a good job. I think a hell of a lot better role than Beverly Hills Cop 2. Let's be honest.
Every time I think about that, I just think of Eddie Murphy asking her how long it takes to shave those legs. So
yeah, right. I thought she was good in this. I did not mind her character.
Parts I had problems with her are like at the press conferences. She's talking about
defending her husband.
Defending her husband, telling him about the threats on his life and stuff.
And all of a sudden,
her accent comes in and out.
I know. Yeah.
When she's talking to a Paul Creed's wife before the fight.
I hope we can be friends after my husband kills yours.
It sounds like perfect English. Yeah. There's no Russian accent there. But when she's talking in at the press conference, all of a sudden her Russian accent comes out. So
it's that kind of
stuff that just irks me. And, you know. I mean, Sylvester Stallone was married to her, I believe, at this time, or this is when they met.
That's why she's in the movie.
Right.
Because this is before, like, Cobra, all right? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's another...
Yeah, Cobra's 86, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
That's a horrible movie, too.
It's better than Driven, Rocky in a race car.
Oh, gosh.
We could do a whole podcast about bad Stallone movies. There's not enough time in a day to go over that.
He's got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You got Drago, who's like a puppet, and you have his manager that's, you know, pulling the strings and everything.
Right.
This is why I would love to know a little bit more about Drago in this movie.
His childhood.
I mean, I don't want a big backstory, but I want him to be a little sympathetic. So when he raises him up and throws him and he yells at the Russian government.
Well, he's been suppressed so long, he just snaps.
But that's the thing.
He's told what to do. Can't think for himself.
I want to feel okay about that, and I don't care. I don't really care because you killed Apollo.
I bet his marriage was arranged. I bet he had no love between him and his wife.
Probably
at all.
So.
We find out in Creed 2 that he becomes an alcoholic, and she does divorce him right after.
When did they have the kid, though? That's my question.
Yeah.
They always play weird with the timelines.
Timelines, yes.
Creed especially. Creed plays fast and loose with timelines.
That it does, yes. You're like, what?
Even the end of the movie is kind of like they're going back and forth with their punches. And then I hate the fact that he said something like he chops him down. It's
the Rocky strategy. Keep hitting me, tire yourself out, and then I come back and I kill you.
Yeah.
But there's no effect on Rocky.
No,
that's the thing. It's
He looks just as good as he did in round one that he does in round 12. You know,
Right.
And he's getting the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
Right. They should barely both be able to stand.
The only thing that Rocky V gets right is the brain damage that Rocky suffers from that damn fight. It's probably the only thing that Rocky V gets right.
Brain damage. Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's how they should have ended this movie, is with Rocky with brain damage, so we didn't have to go to Rocky V.
They should have ended it at Rocky IV. That would have been the smart move.
Right there. He starts talking, and they realize that he has brain damage.
He's a babbling idiot. He's like,
well, here's... Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's start here. There's no legitimate reason why the crowd shifts its allegiance to Rocky Balboa. None whatsoever.
No. Yeah, no. That is very odd.
You could boo Drago. Because he's not doing what he's supposed to do. Because if you come to see your favorite boxer and he's not fighting good, you boo him.
There's no reason that this Russian crowd, we get no emotional connection where Rocky's down till the count of nine and he works his way back up and shows a fight that never say die that we've come to know from Rocky.
Eye of the Tiger.
If we get something like that, that would actually be a human endearing moment that would cause somebody in the crowd to start to root for somebody else. We get none of that. But at the end of the fight, they're all chanting Rocky's name.
There's
no reason for it.
All of them. If you had a little bit of a portion or even a mixed crowd, I could buy that a little bit.
Or it starts, like I said, it starts out as a little group and then it catches on because they see that he's got heart. And every time he gets knocked down, he struggles his way and gets back up to face the unstoppable object. So there's no reason for them to start chanting.
So in Rocky's writing, pretty much he's saying that the Russians now have turned and now are pro-American.
Exactly.
It's subtle.
Exactly. But for three movies, we've played Rocky as not as an imbecile, but as somebody who's extremely simple. He's not intellectual. And all of a sudden, at the end of this fight, he has to give a victory speech where he talks about the ins and outs of, you know, the East versus West and 20 million people and all of that.
Yeah, but his speech is also very simple, too. It wasn't anything. It was like, he's like, hey. I mean, it was a simple speech.
I could change. You can change.
Yeah, it's not like
it's ridiculous.
All change our positions, and you know, it's very just like it's still
well, like earlier trying to tell Paulo that he's fighting himself. It's like, shut up, Rocky. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right. It's like all of a sudden Rocky's character changes because he doesn't even say the speech in a Rocky voice. He says it in Sylvester Stallone's voice. Which is kind of weird. Just go back and listen to it. It's not in the typical, yo, Rocky. It's in Sylvester Stallone's normal talking voice.
It's like the end of the movie The Dictator.
Right. It's completely stupid.
His son is watching this fight at home, too. And I assume they're still living in Philadelphia on Eastern Standard Time.
No, I think they're living in California.
Are they living in California now?
Yeah.
Then they move back to Philadelphia later on then? When they get kicked out of
Rocky V, he did when he lost all his money. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I thought he might have still been in Philadelphia because
you
can live rich in Philadelphia. There's places
sure
you
can,
to go
but
to.
No, he's in LA. He's in the sunny, beautiful weather.
Okay. The reason why I say that is because his son's watching it and he's telling him that he shouldn't be up this late at night. What time in Russia are they having this fight?
That's
4 o'clock in the morning or something. I mean, it's
you and your details. I have to look at the time difference.
I'm just playing with it because I might
fast and loose with time zones.
I'm just going to pick this apart because it's easy to pick apart. Again, I just think there's a better way to end this, and I don't think it needs to go the full 15 rounds. I mean, with the devastation of how they fight, let's make this a 5-round fight and show more of the fight and show what you're just saying, Ted. Show 8 counts. You know, get him to the 8 count at least, where he's struggling. We don't need a 15-round fight if you're just going to show us montages, you know, throughout the whole time of the fight. Just give us a 5-round fight. Have Drago dominate the first 3 rounds. Have Rocky surprise people in the 4th round. And then the 5th round is an all-out brawl. Just simple as that. The reason why, again, I like Rocky III as much as I do is 2 rounds in the first fight, 3 rounds in the second fight, but it's full action. The fights are a lot of fun. And since your movie is not about fun, you need to have something that's fun about it.
This whole movie is just one big political statement. Let's be honest.
It's a political statement, but it's
It's a political statement by somebody who shouldn't be making political statements.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because it's way too simple. And the like I said, the end of that ending speech is just so ridiculous. There has been no previous inclination that Rocky had any sort of connection to any sort of politics in this movie.
Two words for you. Well, a word and a number. Superman 4.
Quest for Peace.
Dear God.
This is the time frame where people are making these type of movies.
Oh, yeah.
Is Superman 4 Quest for Peace?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Where he stands in front of the United Nations, if I'm correct.
Of course.
Right.
And, of course, Lex Luthor doesn't want that to happen. So
right, garbage. Right. Yeah, it's the height of the Cold War.
Only people that live in America can solve it.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Right, because we're the good guys.
We're the good guys. Yep. They're bad.
Mm-hmm. Talking about good and bad, how about time for reviews?
Let's do it. Great segue there. Excellent. Let's kick it off with Ted. I'm curious about his review.
I'm going to be honest. It was
Lie
hard
to us,
for me
Ted.
To
we
find...
like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? It was hard for me to find a reviewer. So I ended up going with Gene Siskel. And Gene Siskel said that Stallone creates credible villains worthy of his heroic character. And I agree with that. And I know we've spent the majority of the podcast tearing this movie apart. The cheese factor of this movie, I don't know. There's still part of me that's, if it's on.
It's nostalgia, man. It's nostalgia.
I still watch it.
Total nostalgia.
Because even though I know it's bad, I know this is, it's just ridiculous. But there's still part of me that really enjoys the movie. I don't know if it's because this was my introduction to Rocky. And it's like, I do like Drago. I think Drago's his stoicism and his mechanical nature. It's like he's almost like a superhero in some ways. And the fact that Rocky beats him, you know, is amazing. But it has so many problems. And it's like Ken said, it hasn't aged well. So as far as how many hooks I'm going to give this movie, it's tough. He's throwing that number
around his head. He can't come up with one.
It's tough because, I mean, I was asked earlier today by my wife what I was going to give the movie. I'm really torn because there's a real part of me that wants to give it 3.5 stars. Yeah, because there are parts of me that I really enjoy this movie, but I can't. I'm going to have to settle on 2.5. And I guess to be satisfied with that. But that's not going to say that, you know, if the movie's on, I'm probably going to watch the re-release.
I want to see this re-release, actually. I'm going to go out of my way and see if I can find it.
It's one of these crazy movies that I know is so bad. And we've pointed out all of the flaws, but there's still part of me that still enjoys it.
Is your draft day bad?
Kind of.
Okay. 2.5 hooks for Ted. That's cool.
Yeah. I wish I could give it more. I just can't.
It's not like you have money on the game or something here. It's okay, man. It's all right. So my reviewer is Jason Bailey of Flavor Wire, whatever the hell that is. His review is Rocky IV still stands, not as a highlight of the series, certainly not that, but as a quintessential artifact of mid-80s studio filmmaking. i.e. soulless, flag-waving, soundtrack-blasting product. And that is pretty much where I agree with it. This is definitely a movie of its era. I agree with Ted 100% on everything you said. Everything. I couldn't disagree with anything. And how dare you, Ken, bring up Draft Day? How dare you bring that great quintessential movie of my cheese factor there? I'm going to keep mine short and simple here. I agree with Ted. It's 2.5 hooks. If it's on, I'm going to watch it because I grew up on it, but it's not a great movie. Honestly, I would have liked to have Rocky V be a rematch between him and Drago. I think that would have been a much better movie.
Rocky IV was supposed to be a rematch between him and Clubber Lang.
Which would have been a great movie, too. Yeah. I mean, I love Clubber Lang. Ken.
Actually, Creed 2 has a scene where they actually fight in the hospital, but they got deleted out. So,
yeah.
I mean, I actually seen that deleted scene, and it's not much to look at. So,
yeah.
All right. Mine is from Matt Brunson from Friend Frenzy. He basically says here that there are simply too many ludicrous elements to ignore. Polly's robot, Brigitte Nielsen, even less expressive than the robot. About 1,000 music video-styled montages, Lundgren's delivery of Drago's deadly dialogue, etc., etc., etc. I agree. I mean, the acting here is very plain, dull, uninspiring. Only Carl Weathers. It's really good that I'm able to, something that we're honoring Carl Weathers with, and we're kind of trashing this movie a little bit, but he is the one that stands out in this movie.
Agreed.
And there's part of me that, like I said, I wish his character wasn't killed off, because he's somebody that could have been used in something like Rocky V to make that movie better. There's a lot of things that need to be make that movie
better.
Nothing
could have made Rocky V any better.
Gotta get rid of Tommy Gunn.
Totally different script altogether. This movie, it works fine for a 13-year-old because you're not thinking too much about it. 40 years down the road.
A 13-year-old in 1985. A 13-year-old now watching movies, it is a totally different ball game at the theater.
Maybe so, but it still is that hero aspect that, you know, kind of like the Marvel superheroes where they defy logic and reason. They're just loved by that age group. So I still think that kind of plays the same thing here with Rocky. The problem is, how many times can you go to the well and succeed?
Apparently, you know, three.
Three, and it's questionable if it succeeded in two. But I'm actually in the same boat Ted was. I didn't know how to grade this, how many hooks to give it. I've been playing with 2.5, 3 card for a few days here, trying to figure it out. I want to give it a 3 because my childhood tells me that you really liked it. And you liked it for some years until you got older and realized that it was not a very good movie. And that, and the fact that when you went to go see Rocky V, it elevated Rocky IV as the last best, you know, Rocky.
Of course,
movie.
That's right. Oh, did you see Rocky V in the theater?
Yes, I did.
Oh God, I'm so sorry.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I had the pleasure with about 13 other people in the theater at that time watching that movie. But anyway, I'm going to agree with both of you and go with the 2.5. It's a fair, you know, amount of hooks to give it. Because to me, 3 is actually saying it's good, whereas 2.5 for me is watchable. And that's what
2 is I'll probably never watch it again.
Yeah, 2 is when I'm starting to say, no, thank you. But 2.5 is kind of something that I can come in and out.
Right.
I don't think I'm ever going to watch Rocky IV from beginning to end ever again. But if it's on TV, I will catch some of it and then leave it. Just maybe a 10-minute quickie here and there with Rocky IV, and that's it, because there's just not enough substance for me to kind of go back to it over and over again. So 2.5 hooks is where I finish.
Awesome. All right. So what is the next movie we are going to be doing, gentlemen?
The next movie we're going to be doing is the movie Ted.
Hey,
Ted.
What?
It's the Ted's life story.
Whoa. What? All right.
Sweet.
Can I narrate it?
Ted is a teddy bear. No, I think
and there he was.
Actually,
teddy bear Ted. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
No, we're going to do the Seth McFarlane Ted.
Yes. Oh,
that's disappointing.
That's disappointing we're doing the movie or not doing your life story?
Not doing me. Oh, well.
We can put something together, right?
Your wife can do you.
Oh, well.
Hey now, family show.
Hey now.
Family show. All right, Ted, tell us where they can find us on the World Wide Web.
We can be found on Twitter at @HookedOn_movies. You can go over there and have discussions. Tell us what you think about Rocky IV. Rocky defeats communism. Yeah, tell us what you think, how we can improve, or what we need to do. You can tell us movie selections that you think that would be good for us to review. And of course, whatever podcast version you're listening to us on, whether it's Good Pods, Apple, Spotify, if you can, leave us a 5-star rating and write us a review. And hey, in review, tell us what you think of Rocky. You know, is it bad or is it good? Or what time, what Rocky was the first time you saw it?
Now, Ted is a viewer request or a listener request, correct?
Yes. The next movie is a listener request. Yes.
That is going to be a very confusing podcast doing the movie Ted with Ted.
It's going to be a lot of, hey, huh? What?
Huh? Huh? Yes. All right. Tell us about Facebook, Ken. What's going on the team there?
All right. Just join us on Facebook, Hooked on Movies. Request to join, and you can see what we have out there. Usually we have trailers and movie scenes and, you know, funny little bits here and there, and it allows you to jump on and give your 2 cents worth. We also had other people making recommendations, as we just said, about the movie Ted. We're concentrating. Yeah, I know.
What?
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's gonna get old real fast.
Maybe.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. As always, friends and family out there, this means something. Thank you for listening.
See you at the movies.
If I can change, you can change. Everybody can change.
Adrian!
See you next time on Hooked on Movies.
If he dies, he dies.